The Guardian.
World Cup Daily with James Richardson on Guardian.co.uk.
Day 22 at the World Cup and the favourites are out. Football, bloody Holland. Unexpected reversals galore in the quarterfinal as Melo out sees Brazil lose it and Dutch tearing strips off Brazilians. We bring you the melodrama in full. Next up for the Dutch, Uruguay, after Giants' giant miss from the spot helps the Celeste to a semi-final spot. Ahead on Saturday, more thrills and spills. Spain, Paraguay, Germany, Argentina. And the question, will Diego take another big step towards his naked run through Buenos Aires? That and much more coming up in World Cup Daily. Hello, world. And hello, Paul McInnes.
Hello there.
Hi, Paul, in on a Friday night. Nice to see you.
It's the only time they have me.
All right. Tom Lutz.
Hello.
You're always welcome, Tom.
Yeah, I was here on Thursday.
You certainly were. And Simon Burnton, World Cup debut.
Yeah, it's a dream beginning for me.
Absolutely. And what a great subject we have to start with. This extraordinary match, which has just finished at Soccer City, the Ghana-Uruguay quarter-final. And we're so lucky to have you here because you were the minute-by-minute man for the Guardian.co.uk's unrivaled coverage.
Yeah, brilliant drama. It was exactly what we want from football. I mean, it was a dastardly act of cheating.
Yeah.
What we like is for football to improvise drama that you couldn't possibly script. And I think that's what happened in those last kind of 2 minutes today.
It was a roller coaster of emotion, as I like to say, for something that takes you one way then the other. Really, because there was the Montari goal, and then that four-land free kick in the second half, and then it went to extra time, and just when you thought the whole shebang was over, there was a free kick that we're not sure was a free kick, and the commentator, Paul, said...
I was sitting in a boozer. It was all very loud, but there was a hush when the free kick came down, and you just heard Clive Tilsley's portentous words, "If this goes in now, there could be a lot of trouble."
Mm.
And it didn't go in, because it bounced around the box about three or four times. It was headed off the line once, and then it was handled off the line.
Yeah.
In a remarkably cynical fashion. I don't think it was a real ball to hand situation.
It's exactly what I would have done in this situation.
Eh? Good for you, Tom.
That doesn't make you not cynical.
No, it's not. Cynical is when you cold-bloodedly do something, when you plan something in a devious fashion. This was just a gut reaction. I wouldn't want to be on a team with anybody who wouldn't have fisted that ball away.
Suarez had no time to think about that, but if he'd have had half an hour to decide what he was going to do at that moment, he would still have stuck his hand up. It was the right thing to do
How
for his team at that moment.
How can you possibly say that, Simon? That's a bit of a... Really? Because you actually wrote, you said the first time, really, he might as well stick out his hand. It's a definite goal otherwise. But then, very soon, you're... Grudging respect to the cheating little sods, it takes a real streak of evil to win like this. Boo!
Yeah, I mean, it was evil. It was like something scripted by something from a cartoon rather than from a World Cup.
Can I come to Simon's defence here?
All right, come on.
When you're doing a minute by minute, you just write down the first thing that comes in your head.
No, fair enough. And I imagine it must be like that. But I have to say that...
The fact that you would always do it, the fact that it was the correct decision, doesn't mean it was in any way right.
Paid the penalty for it, you know?
He paid no form of penalty, really. He'll be suspended for the semi-final.
Will he be out of the final as well? He was sent off and a penalty was given against his team. That Jan Sky
had he not
put, is not his...
put his hand up, his team were out. Nothing, no way back. Absolutely, definitely, definitively out of the World Cup.
Yep.
And now his team is still in the World Cup, they're in the semi-final. He was not punished.
Can I just say I have a little problem with the use of the word correct in the terms of this. I don't think it was correct to put up his hand. I think the correct thing to have done was to have done everything he could have done within the law to keep the ball outside of the goal.
But in a split second, he hasn't got time to...
I think he made a conscious decision to do that.
I genuinely believe...
On some level, he must have, but I think that was it's part of football.
Unfortunately, it is part of football.
I'm just amazed anyone even used the word cheat. For me, it was the most obvious thing when it came back. It's, the handball. Yeah, you'd do anything to keep the ball out.
But it's still cheating.
And that's why he was sent off and given a penalty.
Fair enough.
I mean, I'm obviously in the minority.
I think we're really agreeing with each other. He did the wrong thing. He should have gone off. I just don't think we should be saying it was the right thing to do.
I have to say that probably a lot of my kind of pro-Uruguayan-ness on this is based on listening to 120 minutes being told that I was supporting Ghana by a certain... UK broadcaster. But there you go. Suarez suspended. Because this is one thing. One of the reasons that I was actually quite pro Uruguay was I was enjoying watching him and Forlan
play. A lovely partnership, and Cavani as well, who they didn't particularly enjoy the competition, but I thought that just Uruguay worked so well together. There wasn't much end product, but they were really nice to watch.
If it was one of their bog-standard players that had been sent off at the end, I think they'd have been a lot happier than Suarez.
Yeah.
Did you see that shot of him leaping in the tunnel where he saw the penalty had hit the crossbar? Blimey. I didn't think Uruguay came out tonight. Apart from the first 15 minutes while Ghana were quite nervous, and once Ghana settled into the game, they were clearly the better side. And I thought they played some really good football. Some of the best football I've seen in the tournament. I think the mixture of great close control.
Ghana.
Great close control, direct football heading towards the goal, not direct off the ground, but going for goal. And a real strength in their play as well. The number of challenges that were ridden by Ghanaian players during the course of the game, I thought was quite stupendous. I thought they really deserved to win. And so when you got to the last minute and you thought, it's not going to happen for them, they're bound to lose the penalty shootout, and then that penalty comes.
Gutting. Unless you were, Uruguay.
Well done to Gian for taking
Nigeria.
A penalty in the penalty shootout as well.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic penalty.
What about John Mensah's penalty? John Mensah was the first Ghanaian to miss. They missed twice. And he did what technically you only have to do in five-a-side football, which is take a penalty with no run-up, one
right.
step. Do you ever see anybody, not in the Premier League, I'm pretty confident, take a penalty with one step? Anybody think of anybody doing that? With only one step, you deny yourself a certain amount of power in your run-up, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
So the result of a trundling penalty that pays
there is a reason why everybody does it. Presumably he feels that one step allows him a measure of unpredictability that a run-up might not give.
I just thought he had the heebie-jeebies and just...
Well, I didn't see it coming anyway.
Yeah, he didn't, did he? So Uruguay sans Suarez against Holland. Quick call?
Holland.
Yeah. Because, for example, Gavin says, when will this Dutch team run out of luck? They never looked like scoring against Denmark until Paulsen inexplicably heads the ball against Agger. Never looked like scoring against Japan until the keeper completely fluffed a Schneider effort. And never looked like breaking down Brazil until Cesar exhibited an uncharacteristic moment of madness. The first half today was one of the worst performances I've seen from them.
I really like Uruguay. I stuck money on them after the first round of group matches. So I am rooting for them to get to the final, which is all I need to cash in. And I think that it should be a really close game against Holland. I don't think that Holland should be approaching that game with any sense of natural superiority.
Holland's finishing was woeful today as well. I mean, the first goal, it wasn't down to any of their finishing. The second one was okay. But they missed a lot of chances to put the game away, I thought, once they were 2-1 up. And I think it's partly the pitch was really terrible. There was one bit right at the end when I think Robin was in the corner and it was just like hay flying up from the ground, but they should have killed Brazil off, and I don't know, they need to do better than that against Uruguay.
Mm. I just think the converse applies to Uruguay, really, in that Holland, they seem to have been riding a lot, but every game so far for Uruguay, Forlan's delivered and doesn't have Suarez next time, and there's even greater burden on him to make the difference.
Mm.
And he's kind of playing that role where he's behind the strikers and the chief striker, and he has to make and score his own chances almost. And I think if they don't get Lugano back either, I don't know what his injury was, I didn't hear, but he was taken off, and as soon as he went off, the defence was a lot shakier, a lot more at sea. It's clear Uruguay will try and do a job on Robin in the same way that Brazil did, but
here is Fernando Duarte.
Hey Jimbo, what's up, man?
Yeah, what indeed is up? Listen, we were just talking about, stuff, and the subject of Brazil came up. And so, first off, commiserations, Fernando, commiserations.
Well, man, thanks very much. It's just a shame that, Brazil played perhaps 45 minutes of the most sublime football on the Dunga, just to blow it away in the second half.
Yeah, what happened at halftime? What kind of team talk did he give them?
Well, basically, I think it's something that people say in football. Second half, if you don't hold well for the first 16 minutes, you might have trouble. In my humble opinion, what happens is that, Holland, no ordinary team, they start pretty strong, and then all of a sudden, one single ball plays havoc with the guys' minds. You had Julio Cesar, perhaps arguably the best keeper in the world. He fumbles across, and then all of a sudden, the whole confidence seems to be shattered. Once again, it's not an excuse. I reckon these guys, the whole season, most of them played Champions League finals, they played like tough matches, but it seemed that they just imploded after that.
Yeah.
And Holland took over the game. I just seem to be that they included that own goal by Melo. By the way, the first Brazilian own goal in the history of the World Cup. That totally shattered them.
Mm. I've got an explanation for you, Fernando. Mick Jagger was at the stadium to see America, rooting for the Americans when they got beaten by Ghana.
I just wish that Mark Chapman was still around, you know.
Yeah, he was at the England game.
But anyway.
And the tweet, I believe actually that the Twitter system actually collapsed straight after the game because so many Brazilians were tweeting about Mick Jagger and the fact that he was there. What I found a little bit surprising was that things that Dunga's Brazil was meant to stand for, like discipline and being good at set pieces and defending in general, were exactly the things that let them down in this game.
It's true. It's a bloody mystery. Our defence was in shatters. I mean, where's Lee Snyder? I wonder. I mean, Barry's around. Please, Barry, tell me, what were the odds of Lee Snyder actually scoring a header in his life? Because somebody's a millionaire these days. I mean, we consider the schoolboy training ground goal, basically. Okay, that comes around, nobody picks him up. He squares the ball to the middle of the air, and then Wesley Snyder heads it. I mean, unbelievable. And then again, as you said, the defense crumbled. And, well, basically, I just think that something was wrong. The way these guys were, like, locked away for 50 days, this wasn't natural. The way Dunga intended to get things around, it didn't work out at the end. He's gone now. There's a massive discussion in Brazil who's going to come back. Some people saying, oh, Leonardo. But then again, Leonardo's much more PR guy than anything like that. But there's a strong rumor that certain Luis Felipe Scolari might be back.
Mm, he's a very popular choice, I see, with the fans. It'll be a shame.
They tried to get him back for after 2006, but he said no because he still had like a contract with Portugal. But this time they might try it again. He has already returned to Brazil. He's got a contract with Palmeiras to actually coach them for the next one or two seasons. But something tells me that if Brazil actually knocks at the door, he might be tempted to have another go. He once told me he didn't see it as a problem. The return said, okay, I had my time there, but it wouldn't be a problem to come back. It's a massive bait. The World Cup in Brazil, there are no qualifiers, so which coach wouldn't like to basically have Brazil in Brazil for the World Cup?
All right, well, listen, you've still got Germany you can root for in the other quarter-final, of course, Fernando, but you sound
I'm actually going to be rooting for Holland. I think they played a wonderful game in the second half. They weren't brilliant, but then again, I don't think Brazil was brilliant either. When push came to shove, they managed to build up a fantastic result. Well, in 1998, that amazing Dutch team failed to score 5-6 times against Brazil and then ended up losing on penalties. I mean, fair play to the guys. Neither, you know, Robin had a good game, although I think his foot was falling down too much. I mean, it would be really great to see the Dutch doing it this time. Let's see. The other side of the half is pretty much difficult.
Well, Fernando, listen, in 2006 you were virtually unable to speak after France knocked you out. It seems that the reaction is not that broken-hearted from Brazil this time around. That it's almost as if people didn't expect.
You know what? Dunga managed to take this away from the Brazilians. So many people were pissed off at the whole kind of like bad football dash. I called my brother right after the game. My brother is a very emotional Brazilian supporter. It's even worse than me. And I just got to see if he was okay. And he said, well, I'm not fussed. This whole un-Brazilian side took my took away the energy that used to let me down. So I think I'm just kind of like resigned to see that we weren't brilliant. This wasn't the most sympathetic side ever. And, you know, life goes on. We were expecting this to happen somehow.
All right. Listen, Fernando, you're obviously consoling yourself there, and well done. We look forward to speaking to you again soon. And enjoy the rest of your time in South Africa.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Fernando. Well, there you go. What a dramatic game that was as well.
Credit to Dirk Kuyt.
Yeah.
Credit to Dirk Kuyt. It was a great flick on.
I did like the Dutch winner. I think that the corner, the near post flick header, the far post conversion has a pleasingly retro feel. And there used to be a lot of those in the 80s, and they seem to have disappeared. So welcome back.
Right.
So what do we think about the mental attitude of the Brazilians? Because they ran the Dutch ragged in the first half, didn't they? I mean, completely chewed them and probably played the best football of the tournament so far. I didn't see Argentina-Mexico. But I thought their football was great. They'd raised the tempo. It was really good stuff. Second half, tempo dropped. The passes were a bit stretched. People weren't anticipating. Ball was bouncing off shins. And then there was a couple of really stupid errors that kind of contributed to the goals. But well, why do you think that changed at half time?
I wonder if Fernando hinting there, but this is the big question. You thought that they're a very disciplined side and you thought that they're very big. I mean, as Fernando was suggesting, the idea of little Wesley Snyder, as I'm told that you actually should pronounce it, being the chap to actually get his head to the ball is nonsensical.
It wasn't just there, it was in the midfield, you know, that forward quartet couldn't get the ball to each other anymore. And I really don't think it was because the Dutch raised their game particularly, although they did play better as the game went on.
No, but it all went out of the Brazilians as soon as that goal went in.
Well, yeah, and before, to be honest.
They did seem to over-celebrate that goal to a slightly surprising extent, given that it was a 10th minute.
The Robinho strike.
You're 1-0 up after 10 minutes. There's a long way to go yet.
I think the game had been going so well for them at that point. I think they thought, stroll now.
And they did have a couple of very good chances after that, which they didn't quite put away.
It's not going to be talked about so much now, but the Dutch defending for Brazil's goal was awful as well. They just kind of let it run through.
It was really English level defending. No pressure on the ball, no one tracking the run.
I did immediately think of John Terry and Upson.
I also quite like it in football when an individual takes over the narrative of a game. And Melo got the assist for Brazil's goal, really nice pass, spotted his man. And then he scores the equaliser and then he gets himself sent off. I quite like that he stamped his name all over all over the
match. And not just sent off, he properly stamped on him a few times.
Yes, all very unpleasant. There you go. Dave's football blog saying Dutch harsh, Brazil's mellow, and many other mellow-based bits of japery. Other people posting in on unrelated notes. Well done anyway to Holland and Uruguay as they go through to their semi-final clash. On the subject of England, John Bota, I'm kind of with the tabloids in my disappointment at the lack of any forthcoming acknowledgement from our millionaire chavs we paid so much to go and support. Is it too much to ask for them to say something about what happened back there? Because we were saying it's a bit rough how the tabloids, after bigging them up beyond all reasonable expectations, then turned on them because they happened to go off for a quick holiday before the Cup.
And they should be addressed as something other than chavs before you expect an apology.
Well, that is a point, although maybe he thinks that the first step should be theirs, given how abjectly they performed. I'm guessing what John Bota's rationale would be.
No, I can understand why you would want an apology, and I also think it would be a good thing if they were to give one. I don't think it'll happen in a month of Sundays, certainly not collectively, and I think that's indicative of part of what's wrong with England. I think there's a defensive mentality, they feel victimised, they feel that there's too much pressure put on or too much expectation or blah, blah, blah.
I hate England and the f***ing people.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is extraordinary, no? And that was before the World Cup started.
Yeah, but that was on the day he'd got his divorce through and he'd been getting...
I didn't divorce him.
No. He'd have been even happier if you'd done it. But
not necessarily.
He'd been having a bad day in his personal life. So
he wrote... Yeah, this is Ashley Cole we're talking about. Yeah,
yeah. It was an account that was only accessible to his friends. Obviously, it was only a matter of time before.
But you're an England player and you're about to go off for the World Cup. It does seem a particularly stupid thing to do to write a post saying, I hate England and the effing people.
And so out of character as well.
Well, there you go. Brian Moore's head says, why England lose? It's the songs. Think about it. When have we had decent England songs? Setting aside 1966, I have no idea. He says, the only other time in English football history when we had decent songs was 1990, World in Motion, and 1996, Football's Coming Home. The result, two semi-finals we should have won. I mean,
About Back Home?
What about Runs 2070?
Back Home was 1970. Yeah.
And we played terribly. Well, we got knocked out by the Germans in the quarterfinals, but it was a very good song.
Runs 22 was marvellous.
1922?
Runs 22.
Oh, I'm not...
In 82?
Yeah, in 82.
How did that one go, Sam?
Runs 22 and we're gonna pass to Kevin Keegan, Trevor Brookins score a goal.
I can't believe that I have three football fans
genuinely
in this room with me who are English. You don't know Runs 22.
Where are they hiding, these people? What's going on? No audience.
He's a quasi Uruguayan over here in the
corner. Oh, lots more people posting in about Japan. And by now, I'm completely bewildered as to whether they are a bunch of crazy xenophobes or actually quite nice to foreigners. The jury's out on that one, Japanese. We'll let you know as soon as we find out. There you go. Joy of foreign videos. This is what I like about the World Cup, is that you get to see bits of crazy video from TV stations around the world. There was that magnificent Ebui thing where he was listening into the team talk. We were talking about this yesterday. Did you see this one? North Korean team talk, the coach giving the player instructions and Ebui's there kind of nodding along. Right, boss, and runs off. Capello, which the Spanish dug up, and then, of course, the English picked it up, of shoving Stuart Pearce off the thing. And then it was a Villa support group. It says, any dress sense Jogi Löw had the other day is surely completely undone by this. And he posts a really unpleasant link to Jogi Löw excavating his nasal cavity. And then furtively, you're thinking, not live across the world.
And twice as well.
Twice.
He ate it.
Very much so. It could have been worse. He could have swapped it with the chap dressed next to him.
It's got to be one of the worst things about celebrity, not being able to pick your nose.
For 90 minutes, I think you could probably...
For 90 minutes, you could probably manage.
It's a stress.
But when, like David Beckham, unless he's in his own house, when does he pick his nose?
In the bathroom, perhaps. Yeah, I don't
know.
He
probably gets screened by security whenever he wants to do it.
But you can...
Action!
Let's be frank. We all pick our nose, but who eats their own bogeys?
Until the age of 10, I did. And I always thought that's maybe why I grew up quite small.
Oh, right.
Because there was, like, toxins in there that prevented my growth.
Well, it's stuff that your body's basically getting rid of, so putting it back in is not in any way helpful.
No. I regret it, but it's too late now.
Yeah, no, but I mean, there's nothing abnormal about that, Tom. I'm here to tell you.
Oh, thank you. I've kicked the habit now.
I always used to feel the same about wetting the bed.
But you got used to it? Or
what? Just live with it now.
All right, okay, cool. But I'm just astonished that a man of his age and, professional stature. Yeah, station, exactly.
Can I just mention a video?
Please
do. It is a World Cup video, but it's 1970. Uh-huh. Has anybody seen the Brazil 1970 World Cup blooper reel?
No.
It's on YouTube. It's about 2.5 minutes long of just Jairzinho, Pelé et al. Failing to connect 10-yard passes, trying ambitious shots from the halfway line that go out the corner flag and stuff.
It's on our YouTube roundup, which surely is a Guardian
journalist. It's compulsory for me to read.
Yeah.
No, I'm too busy reading Jonathan Friedland. But like, my mate has this. He's a Norwich City fan, and he has this belief that our championship winning side of 2003 would beat Brazil 70.
He's almost certainly right.
He cites this video as proof.
Right, excellent. Now, some big matches are coming up on Saturday. Ooh, Spain-Paraguay. Spain don't like defensive teams. That's what I've managed to gather from this World Cup so far. And I've also managed to gather that, as they showed us in that terrific game with Japan, Paraguay are a little bit, defensive. So how's this one going to go? Because Spain, they seem to be flummoxed when teams don't come out and play against them.
Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to it.
No.
Of the two matches tomorrow, though, one looks genuinely delicious.
Right.
And like you say, Spain haven't been hugely impressive against the more defensive sides. They tend to pass the ball to oblivion and get terribly frustrated. I, watching them, get equally frustrated as well. I think it might be a frustrating Saturday night in the Burnton House.
Not again. They've only conceded once in the competition, Paraguay, although they've only scored 3 goals in their 4 matches, which should say they're due a bit of understanding, given that their top scoring in World Cup qualifying is still recovering from a bullet in the head. Yeah.
You kind of feel with the Spanish, though, that they'll get away through it eventually.
Yeah.
I thought that, the way they were, that goal against the Portuguese after 60 minutes of trying...
After Torres had gone off.
Yeah, well, indeed. And Llorente did make a very good difference. But I just thought the way they worked, it showed the sort of patience that we are clinically incapable of showing in the England team.
And for the Paraguay are a defensive side, you do need to score a goal. I haven't scored in 210 minutes of football now, I think.
Really?
Well, you don't have to score a goal. You just wait for penalties.
Well, and then hope that you're good at penalties.
Yeah.
You think Torres will start?
His combination with Villa is considered... one of the main reasons why Spain are as strong as they are over the last couple of years.
Mm.
And I don't think that a decent half-hour substitute appearance is going to change it.
No, but 2.5 games of underwhelming performances and very much reeking of not being fit makes me wonder whether... I think he'll get picked. But I'm just wondering, it looks like the kind of Liverpool performance. They bring him back too soon. He's not ready. Then they keep playing him until he succumbs to another injury.
Cool. It's a convincing argument. Only one card so far.
Yeah,
they're not really trying, are they? Spain? They're not.
No, and it was a slightly weak one as well at the end of the Portuguese game. That's not really trying, or either they can actually do things with the ball that other teams that occasionally wear red
can't.
I'm capable of.
Mm. Well, there you go. That's Spain against Paraguay. And the winner of that game will have the delights of a match against either Germany or Argentina. I wonder about Argentina. They have looked really good. But then there have been some very poor sides in this World Cup that have played other teams and made those other teams look good. I'm thinking, Portugal, I think, benefited from this. And perhaps Brazil did too.
And Germany.
And, well, possibly, possibly. Argentina, have all the problems from World Cup qualifying gone away, or has it just been masked by, say, poor opposition? Let's dial up one of the Argentine representatives of the Guardian's global network of supporters, Mariano Prunes. Mariano, are you there?
Yes.
Excellent.
Here
I am. In Buenos Aires.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a mood of feverish anticipation ahead of Saturday's clash?
Well, not so much this time around. Maybe today, because what happened with Brazil and Uruguay gave us hope. But so far, people still have to warm up to this team. It's a team that got everybody confused. We don't really know a lot of the players. They never played here too long. It's hard to see any style of play. And also, it's just everything so new since the team only started playing well in the last month. I mean, we're more relieved than happy because that they're doing well, because we believe that they have fulfilled their basic obligations as a football powerhouse. That is, we beat teams that we were supposed to beat, and we went for the win instead of just taking no risk and hoping the other team will make a mistake. But still, I think that to capture the people's imaginations, we really need a big victory, so Germany is the real deal. Right. Unfortunately, they look very good.
Absolutely. But so far, then, it's fair to say the Argentine public isn't convinced. Because a lot of other people are saying, oh, Argentina under Maradona, they're looking like...
I think we're perplexed because we weren't expecting... We were actually expecting a total embarrassment. So now we're still confused. We're happy, we're confused.
All right. What was the reaction in Buenos Aires to Brazil going out?
Well, there were more cars honking today, both with Brazil loss and Uruguay win, than in any of the Argentina games.
So it's okay to support Uruguay for Argentina?
Yes.
All right, but not
Brazil. They are very good friends.
Excellent. And what worries you most, then? What are the big fears ahead of the Germany game?
I think our team is very unbalanced. I think that's very obvious. Like, when we play with three at the back, the defense is very exposed. When we play three in midfield, we never get the ball. I think we're a team that is a lot of fun to watch. That's why maybe neutral spectators like us. But at the same time, we are fun, but we're always on the verge of becoming involuntarily hilarious. So that can happen this game.
All right, okay. But can I ask you, optimistic about the Germany game?
I think they play better as a team.
Ooh.
So the thing is, like, it's really hard for me, and I think for anybody here, to make predictions about this Argentina team, because if anything, it's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
And that's something that perhaps I think other people like about us, that with having so many coaches being so scientific about football and statistics and tactics and muscle power, and nothing like that applies to Argentina, so it's just people playing for fun, really. Mm. And
I think that's the other reason that so many people are really enjoying Argentina is that they do look like so much fun. They all do seem to be enjoying themselves. Maradona is there in training, puffing on cigars as he's running around kicking balls with the rest of the players. The whole thing just looks like a real holiday.
Yes, I think it was such a relief to get there and to actually have some time to play and to see that things starting to fall into place finally. That they're really enjoying their time, and I'm happy for them. Even if they only make them up to the quarterfinals, or possible semifinal with Spain, that's a very high task as well.
Mm.
I think it's certainly more than we expected, particularly compared to all of the big embarrassment that happened to other football powerhouses along the way.
Yeah. Excellent, Mariano. Thank you so much for that, and I hope it goes well for you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Mariano. Mariano Prunes. They're in Buenos Aires. That was lovely.
Yeah, they do seem to be having a lot of fun, the Argentinians. But it's kind of interesting that everyone keeps tweeting about how great Maradona is and how they've seen him in training and he's curling in free kicks from 30 yards. And isn't he cool? When Glenn Hoddle was the England manager and liked to do much the same, he was considered arrogant.
This time around, against the Germans?
Everybody is saying Germany. All my friends are saying Germany. I thought Argentina. I thought Messi, best player in the tournament.
Yeah.
The only person who's really, really lived up to the hype. Hasn't scored yet. Going to have to score at some point, surely. But everybody's saying to me Germany.
Simon, I mean, you were saying it as a bit of a joke, but might it be true that Germany have been flattered by their opposition thus far?
Well, I think that's why tomorrow's match is so exciting in prospect. Because they're just taking their last games. Both sides look really... exciting attacking sides, but against poor rivals. Particularly Germany, to be honest. I'm looking forward to seeing one of these exciting teams brought crashing down to earth.
Ooh.
And people have had a go at the Argentinian defence, but Germany basically conceded two goals against England and a bad England side in the last game, so they've got problems at the back as well.
There are worries about the mobility of their central defenders, and I'm not sure that they have defensive midfielders of sufficient quality to stop Argentina from playing in front of their defence if they so choose.
If Argentina do go through, you've got Messi up against half his Barcelona teammates. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? But we'll cross that particular bridge if and when we come to it. So you're going with Germany as well, are you, for this one, in as much as a prediction is?
I'm very narrowly favouring Argentina at this
point.
Are
you? Yeah, interesting. Cracking. Mm. Well, there you go. It was a tremendously exciting day in South Africa, and looks like there's going to be another one coming hard on its heels. So do join us late on Saturday when we review all of Day 23's action. And look forward to what the semi-finals hold. In the meantime, many thanks, Paul McGuinness, for struggling in.
Not at all.
Tom Lutz.
Thank you.
And you, Simon Burnton.
It's been a pleasure.
And guest producer Ian, re-guesting. And you, the listener, will be back tomorrow. Speak to you then.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.